fasten your seatbelt, and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller. Everyone jump up on the peace train. Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too. It's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. And come and join the living. It's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Not on the peace train.
I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, our road trip takes us halfway around the world as we board the peace train. In celebration of National Peace Corps Week, and talk to two North Central Wisconsin community leaders who joined the Corps and volunteered for service overseas. Steve Horvath is an assistant professor and youth development agent for UW Extension Wood County. In the early 90s, he spent 3 years with the Peace Corps in the West African country of Benin, helping that impoverished nation improve its harvests and its agricultural practices. Following his service there, he served a tour of duty in Iraq, and now, with UW Extension, he coordinates the Wood County 4-H program. He's also working with an organization called Operation Military Kids, dealing with the problems faced by families with children where mom or dad are called to service overseas. Also joining us today, John Smart, who served in the Peace Corps in the mid-90s in the Middle Eastern Republic of Uzbekistan. Since then, Smart has been appointed by Governor Doyle to the Governor's Commission on the United Nations. He is a member of the Park Falls School Board and is a former chairman of the Price County Democratic Party. And as always, we welcome your phone calls at 261-6371, 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. John, you've been talking to groups this past week as we celebrate National Peace Corps Week, and today you were talking to some school kids in Elko, a small community just north of Antigo. What was your message, and how was it received today?
Well, I was talking to students in their middle school, fifth and sixth grade, actually, and it was fun. What I like to do is to tell the kids not only about the Peace Corps, which I believe very strongly in, but also to try to get them to be curious about the rest of the world we live in, because we as Americans tend to be too parochial. We tend to think not very far beyond our own borders. And one thing that the Peace Corps is good at is making us aware of what's going on in the rest of the world. So I had a bunch of souvenirs of my time in Uzbekistan, and I had the kids try on Uzbek clothes, and it was just really a lot of fun. And the kids were wonderful. They paid attention, and they had very good questions.
How old were they?
I suppose 10 to 13, something like that.
And what did they think about the Peace Corps? What did they think about your service overseas?
Well, they thought it was very interesting. Excuse me. In fact, one boy asked me, what's the difference between the Peace Corps and the Army? And I said, well, we don't wage war, we wage peace. And that's basically the difference. But they were curious about that. What is the Peace Corps? And I talked to them about the Peace Corps, how it was founded and what its goals and its ambitions are and were. And the kids really paid attention and they were very interested.
Well, Steve Horvath, you not only served in the Peace Corps, but you also served a tour of duty in Iraq. So What is the difference between the Peace Corps and the Army?
Well, I think John kind of hit the nail on the head. The Peace Corps, we're working in peace for peaceful means worldwide. Serving in the military was just an extension of my desire to serve the country. It wasn't because I'm in favor of the military, shall I say, but it was another opportunity to serve the country. And lo and behold, after nearly 10 years in the military reserve, I was sent to Iraq. So it's kind of interesting to have the perspective of having served in a war zone and also having been in the Peace Corps.
Well, compare and contrast the two experiences. Obviously, serving in the military is absolutely vital to America's interests. It's vital to our place in the world. But in the Peace Corps, you can serve in a different way and send a radically different message.
Sure you can. The bottom line, I think, Glenn, that I've seen is that no matter if you're serving in the Peace Corps volunteers that I had the opportunity to serve with and interact with after my service, as well as folks in the military, most of them do share the common trait of being proud of what they do for the country. And I think what's unfortunate is that there are not more people that know about the Peace Corps. The military is of common knowledge. Folks know about that, but less so for the Peace Corps.
And, John, most people have never heard of National Peace Corps Week. In fact, it was a surprise to me when you sent me the email saying, hey, it's National Peace Corps Week. Why don't you do a show?
Well, it's the anniversary of the Peace Corps. March 1st in 1961 was the date that John F. Kennedy set the Peace Corps in motion. And so we've always celebrated that as the birthday of the Peace Corps. And we call it Peace Corps Week because it's just a week that we can focus on outreach, on talking to students in schools like I did today, or I've talked to organizations like retired teachers organizations, Lions clubs, all kinds of different organizations. And we concentrate on this particular period around March 1st, but we try to do that all the time. You know, the Peace Corps has three particular goals that they've always talked about from the beginning. The first goal is to be of service to people in another country where you are needed. And that's what most people know about. The second goal is to inform the people in those countries that we go to what the United States is really all about and what Americans are really all about, because chances are they have heard propaganda, they've heard stories, they don't really know, because in many cases they've never met Americans, they've never talked to us. And so we try to bring the best that America represents to those people. And then the third goal is when we return to tell Americans what the rest of the world is all about.
It's hard to hate somebody when you're sitting right next to them, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
You served 3 years in Uzbekistan. How did that experience change you as a person?
The Peace Corps used to have a slogan, I guess they still do, called, "It's the toughest job you'll ever love." And I have to say, I have never in my life worked so hard or felt so rewarded for doing so. It was such a satisfying thing knowing that every day when I went out and taught school or worked with the small business people that I was helping, every day I was doing something that changed their lives. And in the process, of course, it changed mine. And I think I was teaching in a school, but my students taught me, I think, far more than I ever taught them. And I think that all of us could probably say pretty much the same thing.
You know, Uzbekistan has a rather sordid reputation. It's known as a place where people are tortured. And in fact, they boil their political prisoners. How did you feel serving in a country like that?
The old Soviet Union, the worst of the Soviet Union, is alive and well in Uzbekistan, which is unfortunate. The president of Uzbekistan was the old chairman of the Uzbek Communist Party in the bad old days. And when they declared independence, he simply took over. He was supposed to serve two presidential terms, and he's into his fourth. Their secret police are worse than the KGB ever was, and they do torture people, and people are arrested for criticizing the government.
Is it true that people are actually boiled? That's what I've read.
That's a documented case, yeah. There's a very specific case. It was documented by Craig Murray, who was the British ambassador in Uzbekistan in the early part of the 21st century. I think he was there from 2001 to 2004. Before the British government pulled him because he was complaining so loudly about the civil rights abuses in that country.
What kind of a challenge does that pose to you? Here you are from America. You're trying to help Uzbeki citizens, just average people, farmers, businessmen. And it seems like if you really wanted to help them, you'd help them overthrow their government.
Well, I'll tell you some stories about that. We were told when we got there to be very careful not to be political. Not to try to intrude in the affairs of the nation, because that really was not our job to do that. However, I was teaching in high school, and the high school students, once they got to know me, and I was open and honest with them about everything I could, and so when they would start asking me questions like that, what do you think of our country, and what do you think we need to do, it got to be very tricky. I was not sure how much I should say. Finally, I came to the point where I would say, listen, you may not know this, but in the rest of the world, Uzbekistan has a reputation as being a civil rights abuser. People in this country are not treated well. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you are going to be the people who are going to take over this country, inevitably, someday. And I hope that you will look at this differently than the people who are in charge of the country are now.
How did you contrast their experience with your experience in America. How could you do that without becoming political?
Funny story. One of the things I used in my classes were old copies of Newsweek magazine. Newsweek provides a free subscription to its international edition to all Peace Corps volunteers all over the world.
And they let people receive it in Uzbekistan.
Yeah, they would be mailed, they would be shipped to the embassy, and the embassy would deliver them to the Peace Corps office, and they would be distributed to us. Needless to say, they weren't this week when we would get them. They'd be months late, and usually we'd get a stack of them at a time. So I would take these magazines, and I would get them from other volunteers as well. And I would distribute them to my students, and I'd say, take these home, read them, find a story that you think has something to do with international business or international politics or something, you know, that is of interest to you, and come back and report on it to the class. And one boy came in one day, and there was about a 15-page spread in the Newsweek magazine of cartoons showing President Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
This was something of a jolt, and this boy brought it over and showed it to me and said, is it all right if I report on this? And I said, of course you can. So he stood up and he told all the kids in the class about, this is the President of the United States.
Uh-huh.
And they're drawing these terrible pictures of him. And he reported, and he passed the magazine around, and the kids were all looking at it, and they were all going, oh, I can't believe that's the President of the United States. And finally the boy turned to me and he said, what happened to the people who drew these pictures? And I said, nothing. Well, what happened to the people who published this magazine? Aren't they in prison? I said, no.
They're still publishing.
I said, Newsweek is a respected publication in the United States. That may have been the most important lesson that those kids got that year, because that could never have happened in their country. They'd have been boiled. Strange where these lessons come from, but that one, Bill Clinton helped me teach it.
Steve, when you were in the West African country of Benin, how did that experience change you?
Well, I've been back now for about 14 years, and it's amazing how fast that time has gone by. And for many years after I got back, the Peace Corps was on my mind literally every day. I would reflect on experiences that I had and the students that I taught and so on. And it has had a major impact on my life from the time I left the Peace Corps to this day, really. When I got back from the Peace Corps, I was fortunate enough to be accepted into a program that was started in the early 1990s called the Peace Corps Fellows Program. And mm-hmm. I ended up going to graduate school at DePaul University in Chicago. And I taught in the Chicago Public Schools then for 6 years. And like John mentioned a moment ago about the whole idea of the parochial nature of some folks, that's something I shared with my students every chance I could get. I would tell them, please do something. If you need to get out of the area, get out of the area, because you'll see what the world is like. And so just sharing those examples of being overseas and experiencing new things really was special.
I suspect now we have a very well-educated, intelligent audience at Wisconsin Public Radio, but I suspect that more than a few of our listeners have never heard of Benin. Can you describe the country for us?
Sure. Actually, the reference country that I use is Nigeria. If you are familiar with the map of the continent of Africa, in the corner where West Africa starts is the large country of Nigeria. And right to the west of Nigeria is the country of Benin. Benin and Togo are kind of sandwiched in between two former British colonies, Nigeria and Ghana. Togo and Benin are both former French colonies, so it's quite a different culture to have served there.
Did you have to learn French?
Actually, I did. I was selected to serve in Benin based on my 3 years of high school French, and I can tell you that was certainly eye-opening once we got overseas.
J'entre dans la salle de classe, je regarde autour de moi, you know.
That's pretty good, Glenn.
That's what I remember from my years of high school French.
Well, when we first arrived, I served in two groups of us went over, folks who were going to become volunteers in Togo, and then a smaller group of us who went over to Benin, and we did our training in Togo. And one of the first lessons we had during our 3 months of training was a language assessment. And the questions were the nature of how many brothers do you have, how many sisters do you have, and I couldn't even answer that. even having had 3 years of high school French.
So there was a very intensive foreign language requirement.
There was, well...
And that's typical for the Peace Corps, isn't it? If you're going somewhere, you better know how to communicate.
Yes. At that time, it was if you had it in high school, that was good enough. And I suspect it's the same today. But I didn't have it in college. I didn't continue on with French in college. But even at the end of that 3 months of training, my level or my proficiency was not that great. It took a full year of speaking literally every day to learn French. And I recall the very first request I made of my students when I stood in front of them for the first time was, I know the pedagogy and the curriculum, but I don't know French. If you help me learn French, I'll help you learn animal science, animal husbandry, and so on. And they accepted that, and by the end of the first year, I was speaking fairly well.
What's Benin like? How poverty-stricken is it? How much of it is third world? To what extent are they making inroads and building cities and highways and the things that we would associate with life in America?
Good question. There is really only there are only two highways that you may consider as highways. One is the Northern International Highway that travels from the coast, the capital city of Cotonou, up to Niger and beyond. And then there's an east-west route that travels right along the coast from Nigeria over to Togo and on. And when I use the term highway, if the listener can just picture a typical well-maintained county trunk here mm-hmm. in the United States, that's about what it amounted to. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, but one of the neat things that I just really embraced about that experience was the richness of the spirit. It wasn't that they had money, but they certainly had a wealth of spirit.
And you were teaching agriculture.
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. you're teaching agriculture now with UW Extension, but in a much different atmosphere.
Yes, I am. I'm working with youth today. The teaching that I do today touches on agriculture, but as a 4-H agent, I deal with all sorts of different youth development activities, if you will. But at that time, I was teaching agriculture, having a bachelor's degree from River Falls.
That is the background of our guest today on Route 51. You're listening to Steve Horvath and John Smart, a couple of community leaders in their own right in North Central Wisconsin. And like so many community leaders across the United States, they have something in common. They both served in the Peace Corps. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone numbers are 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
For more information on regional programming for North Central Wisconsin here at Wisconsin Public Radio, or to have your community event listed with us, check out our local website at wpr.org/WLBL.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests, John Smart and Steve Horvath. The subject today, the Peace Corps, and this National Peace Corps Week. And let's go to the phones. Rick in Wausau, you are on Route 51. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, I'd like to know what are the requirements of how to get involved with the Peace Corps. How do you apply? What are your age limits? And I'll listen off the air.
All right, thanks so much. Which one of you wants to take that?
I'll talk about that. First of all, there are no age limits. I think the oldest volunteer currently serving is 80 years old. The requirements have to do kind of with how old you are. If you're young, the requirement includes a college degree because they need to know that you're trained in something. But as you get older, that's less important than your experience. And I would like to put in a request that anybody who is older think about this, because I went into the Peace Corps when I was already in my late 50s, and it was something that I always wanted to do. In fact, I applied when I was in my 20s, but they didn't need an actor in Ghana at the time, so I waited and applied later. But it's very important that we get some older people. Only 5% of the people, volunteers currently serving in the Peace Corps, are 50 or older. And what happened
why,
to me...
Why do you think it's important that we get older people?
Well, I'll tell you the story. What happened to me a lot in Uzbekistan, I was the oldest volunteer in the country. There were about 60 of us in the country when I was there, and I was the oldest one. And very often, people would contact me, other volunteers would contact me and ask me if I could come to their village to help them with something. And I'd say, oh, all right. And I'd get on a rickety old bus, and I'd go off to some little village in the middle of the desert. And I would sit down with the volunteer, and they would say, I've been trying to convince the village elders that we should do this for their farming techniques, or we should do this about water conservation, and we can't get anywhere. So I would go to the village elders, and I would say exactly the same thing that the other volunteers had been saying.
But they'd respect look at you me because you're old.
Here's an old man with a gray beard. You know, obviously he knows what he's talking about. So that's that kind of experience that comes with age is as important as a college education, really, for the Peace Corps. And we need more people of older years.
I would add, John, that there's the mid-career professional that you sometimes see as well, folks mm-hmm. who have gotten a few years under their belt in one career or another and have decided, well, I'm just not enjoying what I'm doing and I need a break. And when I was in Benin, there were two or three folks who fit that bill. And they tend to be interesting folks, too, because they do have a little bit of experience, and it's good to hear their perspective as well.
We're going to, and incidentally, there is a web page for the Peace Corps. It's mm-hmm. www.peacecorps.gov. Very simple.
Correct.
And if you're interested in volunteering, it's got all of the information mm-hmm. right there on the internet for you. I'm going to try to squeeze another call in here before we have to break for news. And it's Jackie and Drummond. Jackie, you're on Route 51. We've only got a couple of minutes here. So
I'll just quickly a couple comments. The other day I interviewed Barb Rung, who was a volunteer in the Philippines in the 60s for my radio station where I volunteered, WOJB, in Clutery. And she had a fact sheet, and I noticed, this is pretty amazing, the budget was only $300 million a year. And not to be political, but one day of the Iraq War could do a lot for the public relations of the Peace Corps. I mean, the budget, I mean, that is not very much for this important endeavor. And then another area I just quickly mentioned, if you ever heard of Global Volunteers, I call it a mini Peace Corps where people go for 3 to 6 weeks in country, and it's not quite the commitment, but with the continuity of people going there, it serves the same purpose as long-term Peace Corps. So that's for people who cannot get away for the whole time.
Well, Jackie, I'll tell you something. I'm kind of sorry that I took your phone call now because we really need to talk about these two subjects in depth. Can you hang on the line through our 5-minute news break? Is that possible?
Oh, sure.
All right. If you can hang on during our news break, we're going to pick up with you and ask you a few follow-ups. For the rest of you, stay tuned, too. Route 51, Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg, Steve Horvath, John Smart. The subject today, the Peace Corps, on this National Peace Corps Week. This is Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Public Radio comes from Gunter von Hagen's Body Worlds 1, the original exhibition of real human bodies, now an exhibit for a limited engagement at the Milwaukee Public Museum, presented by Northwestern Mutual Foundation. Tickets at mpm.edu.
We are back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. As we celebrate National Peace Corps Week, our guests today, Steve Horvath and John Smart, two local guys, two North Central Wisconsin community leaders who spent some of their formative years, some formative years that were a little bit later than others, serving in the Peace Corps overseas. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. And Jackie and Drummond, you still with us?
Yes, I am. I'm really happy just to be on the show a minute. And I don't know if your guest gave out these statistics when I did my interview. I had a great sheet, and that it was President Kennedy 45 years ago started the Peace Corps. And to date, there have been 190,000 Peace Corps members. So those statistics were kind of interesting for me that, it's really been around a long, long time, and a lot of people have graduated into the alumni of being Peace Corps members.
Now, you have some concerns about the Peace Corps budget that you brought up before the news break. Do you want to reiterate those?
Well, no, I was looking, you know, at my fact sheet, and it said the budget was $300 million, and that didn't seem that much in comparison to other expenses for what the Peace Corps can do for, you know, foreign relations and building hearts and minds. I just thought a large budget with flooding the country with more Peace Corps members, you know, would probably have a real positive effect. I mean, it just didn't seem like a very big budget. And I don't know how big the budget was 45 years ago, if maybe your guests could address that.
Steve, you want to take that?
Sure. Jackie, I don't know what the budget was at the start, but I know that if you look at Peace Corps history, it's been a pretty much constant struggle to keep the Peace Corps up and running, although it has gained favorability in the last decade or so. But I would mention that when Peace Corps volunteers are overseas, you're absolutely right. The budget is minuscule compared to many of the other efforts that the government is spending money on. And I would say that the government really does get their money's worth out of the Peace Corps volunteer for what we do overseas. But I would add something else that might be a little bit ironic to the listener. You mentioned just a moment ago the hearts and minds, and I shared this with Glenn before the show, Glenn and John, that when I was doing my tour in Iraq in 2006, we had a visit from the second in charge of the Chief of Naval Operations, and lo and behold, the theme at that time, and continues to this day, is that we are out to win the hearts and minds of the folks where we are at in Iraq and in Afghanistan and other places in the world. And immediately that struck me that's what the Peace Corps has been doing for more than four decades. And I do credit the military for taking that stance, and I think it's they should perhaps give credit at the same time to the Peace Corps that's what they've been doing for many, many years.
You know, one more interesting thing before I leave. I did the Global Volunteers, and I went to Romania, Vietnam, and Ecuador. And it was pretty amazing to go back to Vietnam 25 years, you know, after, you know, the fall. And in my mind, I'm just wondering if the Peace Corps could settle in Iraq in 25 years. I mean, that's just a different comparison.
I think it's not only possible, but it's likely, and perhaps in less than 25 years, if things settle down enough.
And Jackie, you're a volunteer at WOJB?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Are you on the radio?
Yeah, on Fridays from 10 to 12.
What's your name?
Jackie Linskog.
All right, and what are your call letters? And we know the call letters. What's the frequency?
88.9.
All right, there you go. Jackie,
it's a great
thanks.
Station, and thank you for your dedication to the Peace Corps. I couldn't wait all week to get on after I interviewed Barb Rung from the Philippines Peace Corps. So take care and peace. Thank you,
Jackie.
Okay, cool.
Thanks so
much, Jackie and Drummond. You know, she brings up the fact that the Peace Corps was started by John F. Kennedy. And, you know, John, the story that I heard is that it was an impromptu speech during the campaign. He was at the University of Michigan, and it was 2 in the morning, and there were 10,000 students gathered in Ann Arbor. He wasn't scheduled to speak, but he did speak. And just speaking off the cuff, here's a direct quote from Kennedy. How many of you are going to be doctors? How many of you are willing to spend your days in Ghana? Technicians or engineers, how many of you are willing to work in the Foreign Service and spend your lives traveling around the world? On your willingness to do that, not merely to serve 1 year or 2 years in the service, but on your willingness to contribute part of your life to this country. I think that will depend on whether a free society can compete. And off the cuff, and lo and behold, he was elected, and soon in his inaugural address, January 20th of 1961, he said, to those people in the huts and villages of half the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves. And it became a reality.
It did indeed. Some of the history of how the Peace Corps came about is kind of interesting, I think. I've done some research on that. When I was living in Pennsylvania, I got to know Harris Wofford, who was at that time a senator from Pennsylvania, a U.S. senator. But he had been involved in the State Department and in various things before. And Harris Wofford in the early 50s helped set up the International Development Placement Association, which sent a small number of college graduates to teach and do community development work in the Third World. And Sergeant Shriver was working with him on that program. And Sergeant Shriver then suggested another plan to then-President Eisenhower, suggesting that we send people into other parts of the world, but nothing ever came of that. Then it sort of turned to the Midwest because Congressman Henry Royce from Wisconsin and then Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota got together, and they are the ones who started pushing the idea. And in fact, it was Senator Humphrey who first coined the term Peace Corps in a bill that he proposed in June of 1960. And at that time, he was running against John Kennedy.
Kennedy. Now, isn't that ironic?
So the fact that you say this sort of was off the top of JFK's head, this had been floating around out there.
He co-opted an idea of his political opponent.
And actually, Harris Wofford, who had been involved in this from the beginning, was an advisor to Senator Humphrey's campaign. And Senator Humphrey, when he backed out of the campaign, when it looked obvious that John F. Kennedy was going to win, Harris Wofford went over to work for the Kennedy campaign. So there's a connection here in all of this.
Well, let's fast forward 45 years, and we've got another candidate on the political scene, Barack Obama, who has made national service a big part of his campaign, saying you can get free college tuition, but you've got to give something in return. And the thing that you have to give is service to your country. And he specifically mentions the Peace Corps. Now, also something that I found interesting in the news this week, there were comments from Obama's grandmother, Sarah, who is in her 80s, and she still lives in a simple mud hut without a television set in the African country of Kenya, bringing to mind Kennedy's comments about those living in huts and villages halfway around the world. So I guess the question that I have is this a sign that young people are willing to serve their country again, and will we see a resurgence in the Peace Corps and maybe see those levels rise to where they were back in the 60s?
Well, I would my perception of it is that I think it's a good idea that one of the candidates is bringing that up. I'm all for some sort of service to the United States because it does so much for the fabric of the country, and it really helps to form who you are as a person. I mean, I'm really who I am today based on the service that I have given to the country. And I think that we've somewhat gotten away from the notion that service is a good thing. It does cross many people's minds, fortunately, but there are a great number of people who never think about doing anything for the country. And I think that's got long-term implications that aren't necessarily good, because we see what the country's about, I think we have more of a vested interest in it once we've given something back to it.
Now, at one point in the mid-60s, we had 15,000 Peace Corps volunteers, and we're down to about 8,000 now. Why don't we have 15,000, 20,000, 30,000?
To put it simply, our money is going somewhere else. When I was in South America 2 years ago with the Wisconsin Rural Leadership Program, and one of the things I like to do is to visit Peace Corps volunteers in other countries if I happen to be there. And so we were in Chile, and we went to the American Embassy. And I asked a woman who was giving us a tour of the embassy in Santiago if there were any Peace Corps volunteers. And she said, we have no Peace Corps program in Chile any longer. We did have for a number of years, but it had been closed. And I said, why? And she said, for the same reason we don't have enough people to fill our consular offices, because the dollars are going to Baghdad. She was very blunt about that. And that's the problem. What Jackie mentioned, calling from Drummond, was the same thing. You know, the money that we're spending in this war could be spent on peace in many different guises.
2616371, 2616371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Edie in Marshfield has been waiting patiently. Edie, you're on Route 51. Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I was calling to say that I am in Wisconsin now, but I'm from Ghana originally.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. That's very good. When I was in school in Ghana in the late 70s, early 80s, we had my school was a very small school in very rural Ghana in the north. And our teachers were mostly high school graduates. And the first real teachers we had were Peace Corps volunteers from the U.S. We had about 5 Peace Corps volunteers in about 3-year span. And they really made a very big impact, because if we didn't have those teachers, I wouldn't be here today teaching here. They taught us English, they taught us the sciences and math and history. And I can't say enough good things about the Peace Corps.
Steve, you want to respond? You spend a lot of time in Africa.
Sure. I appreciate your comments, Edie. And there are a number of folks who come from African countries that I've crossed paths with since my return, and it's surprising the number of them that have shared with me that they were taught by a Peace Corps volunteer at one point, or they grew up in a village where there was a Peace Corps volunteer serving. And I think that goes to show the impact that we do make.
I have to tell you the very first time I heard about the outside world was through the Peace Corps volunteers, and they told me that I have enough talent to be able to study and go beyond high school. It wasn't part of my agenda. Mm-hmm. I was just going to school because that was the thing to do. That was it. But they opened my eye to the outside world. They told me the world is big and there's something outside there, and if you study, you can do big things. And they mentored us, and they went way beyond their duty. Mm-hmm. I mean, they spent evenings with us. They spent nights with us, and the weekends. I mean, their life was helping us, and we didn't understand why they would spend all the time trying to teach us. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm here, I just find it amazing that people will volunteer a year, two of their lives to go and help people they don't know. And it's thank you. I just want to say thank you for your efforts.
Edie, what brought you to Marshfield, and what are you doing there now? It says on my computer that you're a teacher.
Yes, I teach at the UW Marshfield. I teach geography.
Well, I'm at University Extension in Wood County, so I'll swing by there and look you up someday, Edie.
Hey, great. It was great to talk to you.
All right. Edie, thanks so much. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
Get enough jargon and double talk in the rest of your life, why would you want it with your science news? I'm Ira Flatow. Each week on Science Friday, we skip the bogus and buzzwords and don't dumb down the big issues in science, medicine, technology, and the environment. So join me on Science Friday as we discuss science sensibly. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And this is Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today, the Peace Corps, as we wrap up National Peace Corps Week. If you'd like to join the conversation, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 78097. We've been talking about the history of the Peace Corps. And let's move it up to the 2000s. I've got a quote from President George W. Bush, and here it is verbatim. Our goal is as well to make sure we have the Peace Corps go to nations, particularly Muslim nations, that don't understand America. They don't understand our heart. They don't understand our compassion. They don't understand that we share the same values. How has the mission of the Peace Corps changed after September 11th during what's been called the War on Terror? Has it changed?
Well, I would just add that the Peace Corps is already in countries where there are significant numbers of Muslims.
I was in a Muslim country.
We're not going to Muslim countries. So we're already out there. There are Peace Corps volunteers out there, I should say. But I guess his heart is in the right place and his idea.
Yeah, I was in a Muslim country. Uzbekistan is a Muslim country, and I became very much involved in it. I was a guest at Muslim weddings and Muslim funerals and Muslim circumcisions and all kinds of different things. And one of my best friends, as a matter of fact, was the Grand Mufti of Bukhara, whose daughter was one of my students, and so I learned a great deal about Islam.
The reason I bring that up is that America's reputation overseas right now is in a lot of ways in the tank. We have people in many parts of the world who hate us, and that hatred is particularly strong in a lot of Muslim nations. What challenges And what opportunities does that pose to volunteers in the Peace Corps?
Well, let me tell you a story that I like to tell about that. This man that I was mentioned before, he's the Grand Mufti of Bukhara, which he's sort of like the head cleric for a large geographical region. And his daughter, as I said, was a friend of mine, a student of mine. And so we became friends. And I spent many evenings in their house with the daughter translating because the father didn't speak English and I couldn't speak enough Uzbek. But he told me something that stuck with me. He said he was very concerned about the fact that Americans and Europeans had this distorted idea of what Muslims were really all about. He said, you seem to think that we all throw rocks and bombs and things. And he said, that's not true. He said, obviously, there are a lot of Muslims in the world, and the number of terrorists are really very few. So when we use throw around terms like Islamo-fascist and things like that, we're doing a terrible disservice. This man said to me one time, he said, imagine if my knowledge of Christianity came from the news that I used to get from Northern Ireland, where I heard about Catholics throwing stones at Protestant children or Protestants burning down Catholic churches. What if that was the only news that I got?
Or bombing each other. I mean,
or
they weren't just using stones.
Yeah, exactly. They were bombing each other. And he said, if you listen only to extremists, you will have an extreme idea. And that's something that I've carried with me.
Well, it is certainly unfair to characterize a whole group of people based on just an extreme few, because you are going to find evil people everywhere in the world. And they are in all nations, all creeds, all religions,
absolutely
everywhere.
I would add that, getting back to what the caller Jackie mentioned a moment ago, what I actually commented to Jackie was that the Peace Corps really goes a long way in a very cost-effective program. When you talk about the reputation of the United States overseas, there's a lot of truth to that we're we've tarnished our image. There's no question about that. But I would add that my experience of having served in the Peace Corps in an area that was undergoing democracy in the early 90s and was reaching historical milestones at that time, the Peace Corps volunteers were always looked very highly upon. Other folks, there were other volunteer organizations that had folks overseas. Many European volunteers were there where I was as well. The difference between the Peace Corps volunteer and a German or a French volunteer was that we were out living and working with the people in our countries, whereas the German and French volunteers lived in mansions in the capital city and earned salaries equivalent to what they would in their home country. So, and those folks were not looked highly upon. Peace Corps volunteers are always looked highly upon.
And that is the secret, the fact that we lived with the people. Glenn, you know this story, but when I was in Uzbekistan, Hillary Clinton came to visit the city where I was, and she visited the school where I was, and she was first lady then. This was in 1997, and she said to me afterwards, well, she came and sat at a table full of Peace Corps volunteers, and she told all of us, but she said, every time I'm traveling to another country, the first thing I want to do is to get in touch with the Peace Corps volunteers, because they are the ones who know what's going on in the country. The people from the embassy are riding around in limousines. They don't know what's going on in the country. But you guys are on the ground living with the people, and you do know. And we do.
Let's take another caller. I think we've got time to squeeze one more. And Josh in Stevens Point, you're on Route 51. Hello, Josh.
Hi. One of your guests taught animal sciences, correct?
I did at one time in high school, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, my wife and I are volunteering for the Peace Corps. We're scheduled to leave for the Gambia on June 30th. And I will be teaching science over there, and I'm a biology major. I would think maybe biology. I was just wondering, teaching sciences over there, you know, what happens when something that you teach may, you know, conflict with beliefs that are held wherever it is that you're teaching? You know, how do you deal with that? You know, when there's something in your curriculum that, you know, you're supposed to teach that may not go over so well with...
Can you be more specific? Are you talking about religious beliefs?
Yeah. Religious beliefs, I think, would probably be the major thing. I don't know what else is out there that would contradict.
Would that be evolution? Would that pose a problem?
Something along those lines, yeah. I didn't want to be specific. I know there's more than one example, but evolution would be a one that I would think would pop up.
Well, Josh, first of all, good luck, and you're embarking on a very interesting journey, I can assure you that, and you will enjoy it. There's no question about that either. As far as how to handle cross-cultural differences or differences in beliefs, I would be open and upfront with your students about it. If a particular subject is part of your curriculum, it's an opportunity for you to have a good discussion with them. I will add, though, that one of the things that I found was a little bit funny and eye-opening for me was that a lot of the more we seem to be different, the more we're alike. And a lot of the Muslim folks that I had the chance to meet where I was in Benin, there was a good number of Muslims in Benin. While they didn't in public eat pork, for example, they had no problem eating it when they were at your house and sharing a meal with you. So the point there being that we're much more alike than you may imagine, and I would take it as a learning opportunity for your students and a chance for you to share something on your end.
Oh. Josh, well, thanks so much for the phone call and good luck.
Yeah, thanks for the advice and the experience provides some good insight. So thank you.
You're welcome.
We have an article that was written by a gentleman who's a Peace Corps volunteer, and I'm just going to read a quick paragraph here from it. For many people, their 27-month tour will be one of the most challenging things they ever do. As a volunteer, you will be bored, you will be lonely, and you will get some sort of exotic illness. You will need a good sense of humor, heaps of flexibility, and donkey carts full of patience. You will have to lower your comfort level and raise your tolerance level. The opportunities for personal growth far outweigh the financial benefits of the Peace Corps. You will learn one or two foreign languages and a great deal about the countries in which you serve. Peace Corps is well respected among graduate schools and employers. Having been a volunteer looks great on a resume. Anything either of you gentlemen want to add after having been through the experience?
I would add that right now we're talking about global economy and all those kinds of things. And I will repeat what that writer said about it looking good on a resume. If somebody is graduating college now and they can do something spend 2 years in the Peace Corps, it's going to look good on their resume, and it's also going to be helpful to pay off their college loans, and there are a lot of good connections. But people are going to be looking, companies are going to be looking for people who've had experience like this.
We're certainly in the age of globalization. We have been for many years already, I think. And what I would add to that is that if you want an experience that truly is eye-opening and something that will teach you a lot about yourself and hone skills in you that will follow you for the rest of your careers, an experience like the Peace Corps can certainly do it for you. A 2-week trip overseas is not going to accomplish nearly what a 2-year tour or 2 years plus in the Peace Corps would.
We want to thank today's guests, our two Peace Corps volunteers, Steve Horvath of UW Extension Wood County, who served in the West African country of Benin, and John Smart of the Governor's Commission of the United Nations, who served in the Middle Eastern Republic of Uzbekistan. And you can find more about the Peace Corps at www.peacecorps.gov. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week, Route 51 takes another look at the future of farming in Wisconsin. That's it for us. Thanks so much for being with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town, and peace.